coming up on this week's mini episode of the Drew Perowit Podcast.
What's your motivation for holding on, right? Are you holding on because you don't feel complete and you feel like this thing or this person or this experience will complete you, right? That's a great reason to let go. Or are you holding on because you feel inspired to give more from within because you're already complete, because you're already fulfilled? Well, that's a reason to continue on and not to quit or not to surrender.
Have you ever gone to your doctor for your normal annual physical and after sitting with them for 10 minutes, they quickly look at your labs and tell you, hey, everything looks normal. Keep it up and I'll see you again next year. Maybe even give you a nice little pat on the back. I can't tell you how many listeners of the podcast have told me that they've had this exact experience and how honestly, how frustrating it can be. Now, we all know that normal isn't always optimal. Just because something's not wrong doesn't mean that we feel great. So traditional medicine is great at finding out when something is blatantly wrong, but they don't always do the best job when we need to highlight how we can do better. So what if you could get detailed nutritional and lifestyle guidance based on your individual needs? That's what Inside Tracker does. Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by top scientists from acclaimed universities in the field of aging, genetics, and biometrics. Its mission is to help people live long, healthy, productive lives by optimizing their bodies from the inside out. Inside Tracker is cutting-edge technology, and it looks at your blood, DNA, lifestyle, and it has fitness tracker data, and they give you science-backed recommendations for positive changes to your daily habits. It's all about the daily habits. With their app, you can track your progress every day, and they have an amazing support team to help you with any questions you might have. Inside Tracker looks at everything from metabolic and inflammatory markers to top nutrients and hormones. It even tests your cholesterol levels to help you better manage stress, and you have the option to see how your inner age compares to your chronological age. Traditional lab tests can be hard to read on your own, but Inside Tracker makes their results easy to understand and even provides tips on how to use food first for optimal nutrition. Right now, Inside Tracker is offering my podcast community 25% off their system. Just go to insidetracker.com/Drew. That's DHRU to get your discount code and try it out for yourself. That's Inside Tracker, INSIDE Tracker, TRACKER.com/Drew, DHRU for your 25% off. Regular sauna use is a game changer. Saunas can reduce inflammation, improve detoxification, support overall stress levels, and increase energy production down to the freaking cellular level. But here's the thing, saunas can be expensive and not everyone has extra room for them in their home. That's why I'm excited to tell you about the portable higher dose infrared sauna blanket. It's an affordable way to get all the benefits of sauna use, including supporting the process of autophagy or cellular cleanup, which kills off our body's old zombie cells that are hanging around and taking up a lot of space and energy. Killing these old zombie cells is key when it comes to longevity and optimal health. Did I mention that higher dose blankets are also low in EMF and made of premium non-toxic materials to help keep you safe and cozy throughout your sauna session? Just another reason why my team and I love Higher Dose. If you've been hearing about the benefits of regular sauna use, but you just haven't pulled the trigger, Higher Dose Infrared Sauna Blanket is designed for you. So jump right in. Right now, you can get $75 off your own infrared sauna blanket at higherdose.com with my exclusive promo code Drew, DHRU75. That's higher, HIGHER, dose, DOSE.com with the code DHRU75. Hi, everyone. Drew Perowit here. We're all on our own paths of learning which inner voice to follow. There's usually the one urging us to take the easy option, but there's also the other one, the often quieter one, the inner voice that sometimes comes from our gut feelings that's nudging us to stretch ourselves and take on a new challenge. Have you ever felt a little scared but excited about a new endeavor? That inner guide is trying to help you grow and get you closer to your true dreams. In today's mini episode, I speak with Diego Perez and Light Watkins, two of my dear friends, all about finding that inner guide, reframing our perception of good and bad, overcoming people-pleasing, and giving ourselves permission to let things go. Let's listen in, starting with Diego Perez, a meditator, a writer, and a speaker who is widely known on Instagram and various social media platforms through his pen name, Young Pueblo. Online, he has an audience of over 1 million people that he reaches through his written works that focus on the reality of self-healing, the movement from self-love to unconditional love, and the wisdom that comes when we truly work on knowing ourselves. You know, a form of perfectionism that a lot of people struggle with, but they may not even realize that it is a form of perfection. And it's a pattern that can run people to the ground, cause burnout, you know, ruin relationships. Mm-hmm. And that's the pattern of people pleasing. And you talk about that inside of the book a little bit. And you write that being a people pleaser is a dangerous game. To give everything to everyone will require you to give nothing for yourself. People pleasing will cost you your authenticity, your goals, and your integrity. If you want to be happy, you have to live your truth boldly on your terms. For anybody that resonates with that and has a history of people pleasing, what do you want to share with them, whether it's your own journey or what you've noticed in your meditations and on your writings about people pleasing?
Yeah, I mean, one, and especially even just being on social media, you know, like you, one of the things you quickly learn is that you can't control other people's perceptions of you. So if you try to be a people pleaser that makes every person happy, it's literally going to be impossible because you can't define someone else's perception of you. And because you have no control over that, then you're automatically playing a losing game. And if you get really caught up in that game of people pleasing and trying to make everyone around you happy, then you're just going to have no time for yourself. And you're constantly going to, you know, you're not finding that balance where, yeah, you do want to be kind to other people. Don't get me wrong. You want to be compassionate and try to meet people where they're at when you can. But at the same time, you want to honor yourself and where you're at, what you need, what are your goals, so that you can find a healthy middle ground that you can both stand on. And if we're not finding that middle ground that honors where we're at and where, you know, whoever else that we're interacting with is at, then you're going to have disharmony, you're going to have difficulty, and you're going to have a lot of mental tension. But the people-pleasing game is something that I think a lot of us just get caught up in because we don't like conflict. But, and it's not even, you know, you don't need to have conflict every time that you want to express your authenticity. There are ways for you to express your authenticity in a compassionate and calm manner. And, you know, there's just no need for it always to like devolve into conflict. But at the same time, like conflict happens sometimes and it's fine. We can still have opposing views and deal with it in an effective, harmonious, communicative manner that, you know, we both get something a lot of, you know, we can both get a lot out of.
You know, when I read that part about people pleasing, I thought of the fact that, you know, people pleasing is kind of wired into our DNA. Many societies around the world, and you still have this with a lot of modern day hunter-gatherer societies that they teach, you know, young kids they teach kids at a young age and as shape them as they become adults and, you know, rites of passage and everything. It's like, here's how society expects of you. Here's what people expect of you. And it's often in a benevolent way. And sometimes it's not, right? It's a more of a controlling way. And you learn from a young age to keep the harmony because for the happiness of the tribe, we need everybody to kind of conform a little bit. And the interesting thing is that animals do this too. Wolves will often, you know, shape each other's behavior. And I guess like Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer, you know, he's big on sort of, hey, listen, if you have a dog that is not in a pack, it starts to develop all these crazy behaviors like barking all the time and other stuff. They learn through socialization. So we very much are like that. And the interesting thing is nobody gives you a rule book for our modern day and age. So people pleasing is wired into our nervous system. We want people to treat us well because the deepest fear that we all have ultimately is death. But what is close to death is the idea of being ostracized, right? Kicked out of the group. They don't like you anymore. Yeah. Go fend for yourself. Right. Go fetch water, hunt, build shelter. and most human beings can't. And in fact, a lot of societies, they didn't have execution, but they did ostracize people when they continue to break the rules and operate out of pattern. So I'd like to remind people about that, because people pleasing comes from a genuine place, but because nobody gave us a rule book and we don't really have introspection and we live in different communities, it's gotten out of control in a way that can really have you give up on all your goals and dreams in life.
Exactly. And I feel like if you were to give this podcast a topic, it's like living without extremes, right? So it's really important to understand an idea and then not take it all the way to another extreme where you're just like totally not honoring the origins of that idea. What you're making me think about too is if you want to balance that out, you want to be able to be authentic in your interactions and, you know, try to achieve your own goals, but also, do you have enough wisdom and maturity to be okay when you don't get what you want, right? Because especially with like intimate relationships, I think it's give and take, right? Like, one of us can't always say like what the both of us are going to do. We both have to be able to, you know, one step up, one step back, and then just take turns doing that and leading so that we can both have ample time to lead. But being able to just be okay with like not getting exactly what you want is like one of the, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of like safety and joy in being able to just like not constantly be craving for more or not constantly be craving for control. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean like, oh, you should never get what you want. Totally, you should, you know, you should, but 100% of the time, impossible. So, you know, life is just going to show you how quickly you won't be able to get everything you want. So being okay with not constantly craving for more, that's actually going to not only open you up to a bunch of deeper wisdom, but it's going to help you just like find more harmony in seeing your partner or your friend or your family member full of happiness because they got, you know, something that they really wanted. And you're going to feel a deeper type of sympathetic joy, a happiness for their happiness that, you know, will also fill you up in a very profound way.
And not getting what we want can be one of the beautiful growth opportunities in our life. We don't get what we want in one area, and all of a sudden now we start thinking in a different way. We start looking for new opportunities. We look for new ways to solve a challenge. And that's a great thing because we all want to grow. But then the question sometimes is do we want to do the work that is required for that growth? And not getting what we want seems to be one of those things that's uniquely tied into that process of growth. I want to come back to people pleasing for one second and say, on a practical level, what do you imagine now that we understand like this idea of, you know, its origins, and also that so much of breaking a pattern is realizing everything we're losing because we're holding on to it so tightly, right? We don't often think of us losing out on a lot of stuff, but you talked about inside the poem. On a practical level, now that we're aware of it, what have been some, whether they're boundaries, communication, other stuff that you've used in your own life to take a step back from a pattern of people pleasing?
Yeah, one of the biggest things that I'm like, what I'm trying to implement to break my own pattern is moving slowly. Like before, I would move way too fast, you know, and fast in a way where I would try to like emulate being a machine, where I'm like, you know, trying to respond to every text message, trying to respond to every email, trying to get as much done as possible every day. And now I feel like that's actually pretty unhealthy for me. And just because, you know, I get a message, you know, through, because now it's tricky because there are so many different ways for people to communicate with each other that you have all these different inboxes, and to be able to take time to respond to every single thing, it takes up a lot of energy. And that's something that I, as an individual, like I have to manage my interactions with social media as a whole, because if I spend too much time on there, I'm burning my energy. And it's actually not good for my own personal mental health to, you know, constantly be plugged in. So being able to give myself time, and, you know, I get an email or something, I don't need to respond right away. I could respond in a day or two because I just need to, you know, give myself breathing space. And I think that's part of that, like breaking that people pleasing pattern where it's like, you know, a lot of people, yeah, you do want an immediate response, but like, if I give it to you, then I would be taking something away from myself because I also need to like live my life the way that best supports my like health and happiness and well-being.
And ultimately self-actualize and ask yourself, you know, why are you here? You know, are you here to, sure, as you mentioned, some messages need responding. There's going to be some level of administrative stuff, especially when you've built a massive following like you have done. New opportunities come in, you know, new, and we also ask other people of things, right? We want to be on people's podcasts, talk about our book. We want to get support for this other aspect. So, you know, there's compassion on both ends of it. But ultimately, I think that, you know, there's a book that I read a few years ago. It's called The One Thing by Gary Keller. And I really recommend it for a lot of people because the book is asking that central question, which is, what do you really feel like you're brought here to do? And if you say no to a lot of other stuff that's like out there or minimize it in your life, but you're saying yes to this very important thing that you are want to give attention to or want to make progress on or make the world a better place in, that discipline of continuing to say yes to the thing that you want to focus on actually also brings you a deeper sense of peace because you're not worried about the sense of FOMO, right? FOMO of what else could I be doing? What else could I be creating? Right, have you dealt at all with FOMO in your life? And if you have, how have you navigated it?
I think it's tough because FOMO wants to come up all the time. You know, we want to be everywhere with in all of our social circles that we're a part of. But I think the same way, like what you just said, it's key. If you want to be able to say yes to your highest goals and focus on them, that's going to require you to say no very often. And especially with like, I remember the times when I was getting really serious about starting to meditate and I decided that, you know, drinking isn't working out for me anymore and I don't want to do that. So I set it aside. But I remember for like a 3-month period, I needed to stabilize my own comfort and no longer consuming alcohol. So I just didn't go out that much. So I felt tons of FOMO, but at the same time, at the moment, it felt really healthy and right to just say no to the invitations that I was getting from friends to go hang out at bars or parties or whatever, because I just needed to kind of like set up a new way of living in my like immediate environment so that I didn't feel that like need to like grab a drink and do what everyone else was doing. But there are tons of moments like that where it's like, because I really want to put my energy into my highest goal, I'm just going to have to say no to a lot of things.
And the beautiful part about that is that life moves on. It's almost like, who are we to think that we are that important that, you know, yes, we play a role. Yes, our friends, you know, might miss us a little bit here and there, our family, other stuff, but life always goes on as it has throughout the history of stuff. People adapt, right? Things always move forward and, you know, it's going to be okay, right? It's going to be okay for everybody that's involved. So when you can pull back a little bit and you're not as reactionary, which is really what I'm hearing you say, like when you slow down, the beauty of slowing down is we're not as reactionary to the demands of the world. Because if we're feeling a lot of FOMO and there's a void inside of us, then we open our inbox or we open up social media. And I always say like our brain is like a detective. It's going to go on the hunt for anything that we believe. So if our subconscious, if our subconscious is feeling FOMO, if our subconscious is feeling I'm not doing enough and look at this podcast, this other person did, it's doing way better. I need to be more on my book tour, promote this product more, improve my career. Then we go into our DMs, then we go into our text messages, then we go into our email and we're already sort of pre-triggered. We're pre-triggered to find the pain to fill that void. And then we look back a week later on and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed. I have so many different things that I've agreed to. And yet we were the person that put those things there because we weren't aware of the pain.
You know, that's funny. I love that you're bringing that up too, because that's something that I try to really check in with myself often, is to make sure that I'm not doing things out of agitation because I'm feeling really agitated inside of myself because something's coming up. I'm not, you know, I don't know exactly what you're saying, like taking on more than I really need to take on, or even like creating or writing when I'm in a really agitated state. Like if my mind, it feels a little bit out of balance, actually that's time for me to chill out, spend some time, you know, either meditating more or just like being with it and letting it pass, as opposed to just like forcing that continuous cycle of productivity. Because like, don't get me wrong, it's beautiful to work hard, but it's also equally beautiful for you to rest and take your time.
My next guest today is Light Watkins, and he's a meditation teacher and author and also a close friend. Prior to the pandemic, he was traveling the world from a single backpack, giving talks on happiness, mindfulness, inspiration, and meditation, as well as leading popular meditation trainings and retreats. He's the author of The Inner Gym, Bliss More, and his most recent book, Knowing Where to Look, 108 Doses of Daily Inspiration. Light and I dive into how it's all too easy to get trapped in the once I have X, Y, and Z, then I'll be happy mindset. We've all been there. The expectations that society has set have become embedded in most of us, even if we don't always realize it. Light and I talk about shedding those expectations and how that ties into embracing the challenges that truly get us excited and most importantly, help us grow. Let's listen in. I think letting go is a superpower in life.
Yeah. I think letting go is harder than holding on, actually, you know? And because there's a sense of entitlement that comes with holding on, where we feel like, okay, this is mine. I've earned it. I put in the time. I've done whatever it takes to get this thing. And so if you're starting to experience the tension and the friction as a result of holding on to it, usually the last thing we come up with is letting it go, because that is equated to surrendering, to giving up, to quitting, you know, and not putting in the extra effort, not going the extra mile and all of those things. So that's a part of our social conditioning, that letting go is naturally a bad thing, whereas holding on is a good thing. And what I like to encourage people to do is challenge that assumption. Challenge the assumption that you need to hold on tighter in order to get the thing you want. And instead, entertain the possibility that if you let it go and it comes back to you, then you know it was meant for you.
What I love about that is that when we are in this process of trying to figure out which voice to listen to, or you might feel like we have the same voice that's kind of, I could see it this way, I could also see it this way. I like putting on different hats. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'll put on my letting go hat. What would it look like in this situation, just as a mental exercise? What would it look like to let go? How would I be? How would I show up? How would I sit in this moment if I let go? And other times it might be, okay, let me put on my double down hat. My double down hat, because we live in a society that is always about adding. We live in a society that's about adding, doing more, not quitting. We're taught that quitting is one of the worst things we could do. And we often think of letting go as quitting, less than, and we feel like we are losing a sense of identity, right? Mm-hmm. We're losing a piece of our ego. We're losing a sense of ourself. And we don't see a lot of examples. It's easier to see an example of somebody holding on to something or going after something than it is to sometimes see an example of letting go. Letting go sometimes, it's not always in the forefront, right? It's not always visual. You don't always see it. And if you're not sure what the right way to go is, put on these different hats. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, who would I be? How do I show up? How do I act in the world? How would I treat other people? And which one of those has an element of some of those themes that we talked about, maybe a little bit of excitement. Well, I committed to do this thing that I'm not sure that I want to do, but I don't want to let go because I'm afraid of breaking a promise that's there. Mm. Or I just signed up for this job and I hate it, but they gave me a shot. Maybe I'm just being a baby and I just need to try it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I don't know the right answer. And just like you say in the book, you're not trying to give the right answer. You're trying to give these little guideposts so that people can find that. And I think sometimes these stories are different ways to inspire you to try on that different hat and say, what would it look like right now to let go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also include a something more to consider section with a lot of these pieces, where it just really gives you clear considerations to make, such as, you know, letting go, like, what's your motivation for holding on, right? Are you holding on because you don't feel complete and you feel like this thing or this person or this experience will complete you, right? That's a great reason to let go. Or are you holding on because you feel inspired to give more from within because you're already complete, because you're already fulfilled? Well, that's a reason to continue on and not to quit or not to surrender, but to make yourself uncomfortable. And when you understand what your motivations are, it allows you to be able to make those choices a lot easier. And so hopefully people who read these stories and read these considerations will be able to kind of integrate that within their day-to-day choices and find an easier time. I'll say a less difficult time with navigating these situations, because the situations are not going to end. Even if you understand the principles, what happens is you just start playing at a higher and higher level, right? Because maybe you're not concerned about your individuality anymore. You're like, okay, I'm going to be good, whatever. My bank account is a little low this month. It's going to be fine. I'm just going to keep doing what I do. It's going to work out because I've had the experience enough times. But what about the economy? What about the people who are starving, right? Starvation is one of the top killers of humans. What about, you know, polio, or what about some other epidemic or pandemic? Like, how can I positively impact that on the planet? So you start playing at those kinds of levels. And so there's always something to attend to, right? And hopefully we do graduate at some point from just kind of taking care of ourselves and into addressing some of the many needs of the time.
Like everything in life, it can take some time and practice to be in touch with our intuition and benefit from it. Sometimes it's about listening more closely. Sometimes it's about tuning out the noise so that we can actually hear our intuition for the first time. But just like working out, we have to be a little uncomfortable and put in the energy if we want to get stronger. It's true for both body and the mind. Thanks for tuning into this week's mini episode of the Drew Perrott Podcast. If you know someone who's trying to grow their own intuition, consider sending this episode to that friend. You might make their day. I hope you enjoyed today's mini episode. I'll see you again next week.